the Lord help us to commence our Thanksgiving services with hymn 1151. Great Sovereign Lord, what human eye amidst thy works can rove, and not thy liberal hand espy, nor trace thy bounteous love. 1151.
Thank you. sacred and holy word of God, we shall read together for our instruction Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works, the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works, the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, the fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. There he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, for so they are multiplied greatly. He suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Thus far we read in God's holy word. May he bless it to our souls and teach us to pray. Almighty, most gracious, ever blessed, long-suffering Lord God of hosts, in whose unseen yet real presence we gather this afternoon hour to remember thy goodness and mercy toward us in the provision of another harvest, a seed time and a harvest, seed to sow and a ground to sow it in, and that combination of cold and heat, summer and winter, that has brought forth eventually in thy hand a copious harvest. Lord, we bow at thy feet this afternoon hour, acknowledging thou art yet faithful to thy promise, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, shall not cease. But Lord, in that solemn, yet thou sacred promise, there is that word, while the earth remaineth, which reminds us this earth will not remain forever. And a day is appointed, and who can tell how near, when the dear Son of God will return in all the glory that he has as Son of God and Son of Man, and he will bring time to its final conclusion, and gather to his right hand those elect vessels of mercy, the sheep of his pasture, those given by the Father to him to redeem. Oh, what a day that will be. And how solemn a day for those, Lord, who lived and spent their lives here in Christless, godless ways. What a solemn reaping time for them it will be. But Lord, our life is spared at the moment. We are yet on praying ground. There is still the door of mercy to which we would flee. And thus we come this afternoon hour, and while that door is open, may we be fleeing to it. While the gospel's joyful sound still go forth, may we be among that people. Blessed is the people who know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day long. Oh, we do pray this afternoon hour then, while we thank thee for the temporal mercies that are ours. And they are great blessings. They are great mercies, Lord. We would not minimize them in any way, but we realize these are not saving. And we could be having abundant harvests and still be lost when that greater harvest takes place. Oh, we pray then this afternoon hour, it may be our chief concern to be found among that harvest of thy people, which thou didst say through thy servant Amos, the least grain thereof shall not fall to the ground. Oh, Lord, if we be but the least grain, that last hoof, in another way in which it is declared, then what a mercy. O Lord of harvest, grant that we, pure and wholesome grain, may be. We come as sinners. We do pray that we may not lightly use that word, remembering that sin is rebellion. And we pray that we may acknowledge our rebellion, that we are by nature alienated from thee. And O Lord, thou hast seen our wanderings, our waywardness. Thou dost behold what we are by nature, and how the fruits of that fallen nature have shown their evidence in our lives. O Lord, we come as sinners. Thoughts, words and deeds need cleansing, pardoning, washing. Oh, we need to see the atonement, one in the sinner's place, one ready, willing and able to take away the guilt of a conscience made alive by the Holy Ghost. Oh, there may there be many living consciences here this afternoon, and many, Lord, fleeing to the only remedy, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which cleanses from all sin. That precious fountain, Lord, which conveys the perfections of Emmanuel to an unworthy sinner and takes away all the unworthiness and the guilt and wretchedness of that favoured sinner and casts it forever behind his back. Smile on us, gracious God, and show thyself the friend of sinners now. Do bless the means of thy grace, the holy, inerrant, infallible word of God we've been reading, those sacred praise of thy name, Lord, that closing verse, how sweet, love everlasting has not spared its best beloved son. Lord, we wonder how many, as they sung that with a heart touched by grace. Oh, that it might be our desire ere this service is our over this day, that love everlasting touches our hearts, melts it, draws it, and all conquers. And Lord, there's much conquering grace needed, thou knowest. Bless the reading of thy word, and may our meditation of thee be sweet. May we be glad in the Lord. And as, O Lord, today is the preparation for the Sabbath, like those dear women of old, we would prepare those ointments, as it were, to anoint thee on the Sabbath day, on that first day of the week they came. So may our hearts be in gracious anticipation of the Lord's day. But Lord, we have this day of preparation, and may it not be unprofitable. Those of thy dear servants among us who will be standing on the walls of Zion tomorrow, may they and we know much of the outpouring of thy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, the good psalmist, thou shalt be anointed with fresh oil. Not different oil, Lord, but fresh. That's what we need, something fresh. So bless the dear servants of God among us this afternoon, and do bless each congregation represented, each hill of Zion, and especially the dear church and congregation that was planted here and prospered here. And we do pray that they may today be like Samuel, who took that stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." So, Lord, bless them, and bless each needy case before thee, young and old. Quicken the dead, strengthen the weak, guide the perplexed, undertake for the oppressed. Let go thy captives, Lord, and set the solitary in families. Bring out those who are bound with chains. Bring back the prodigals, Lord, and do attend to those impossibilities, those iron bars and brazen gates we've been reading of, which often stand in the way of thy dear people. They know they need to go on and yet cannot. This obstacle stands in the way, which only thou canst remove. Like those dear women of old, who shall roll us away the stone? But Lord, thou canst. One touch, the mountains vanish. The valleys are exalted. The crooked is made straight. The rough is made plain. The stone is rolled away. The door opens. While we wait for that touch, what captives we are. But if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Bless the dear children. Lord, we are favoured to see so many younger friends here this afternoon. And here they are growing up in a dark, sinful day. And they, Lord, they've got dark, sinful hearts too, just like the world around them. May they know it. May it be an early experience by grace in their heart when they begin to cry like the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Put thy fear in their hearts, Lord, that they may not depart from thee when they come to mature years and make their way in life. Oh, may their ear be bore to the doorpost, we pray. We pray, O Lord, thy rich favour and blessing upon those who bear the heat and burden of the day, responsibilities in family, church, business, daily life. Sometimes, Lord, those responsibilities and burdens seem unbearable. And yet, Lord, with grace, they are bearable, but only as that grace is given. And if there should be one here this afternoon staggering to and fro like a drunken man, that wind, that storm thou hast commanded, Lord, we read it. He commanded the stormy wind. Lord, if thou hast commanded it, we bow under thy sovereign dealings. But, do in thy mercy hear the cry of that one here this afternoon who may be staggering to and fro like a drunken man in their soul or in their experience. And may they know thee to be the Prince of Peace. Thou canst calm the storm. Thou canst bring all in subjection unto thy dear word and feet, or that they might prove it this afternoon hour. And our dear aged friends, those, Lord, in the evening time of life, the shadows of life lengthening upon them, how quickly life has gone, how quickly the chapters have succeeded one after another, and now they are near that solemn word eternity, and none of us know how near we may be, young or old. But we do pray that our dear aged friends may know, even this afternoon, some sweet sense that thou art with them. Jacob's staff to lean upon, Jacob's God to go to. Remember any who may have come to see, desiring divine direction this afternoon, knowing what thy, desiring to know what thy will and thy way for them is. May they hear a clear, unmistakable word behind them this day saying, this is the way, walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand or when ye turn to the left. But now come into our poor cold hearts this afternoon, Lord. May they yield under a sense of thy love. May sin become exceedingly sinful. May Christ become exceedingly precious. May the balm of Gilead be applied to wounded hearts and wounded spirits, we pray. And be with those here this afternoon who are bereaved. Lord, there are those recently bereaved, even in this area. We think of our dear friend Little Downham in the loss of a dear friend there, and some of us also are bereaved, and we bring our losses to thee. And may we prove, and all who are walking that path at this time, that for thy dear children, it is said he never takes away our all. Himself he gives us still. Oh, for that unchangeable, unchanging friend, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now grant prayer in the pew, that there may be power in the pulpit, and may that precious Christ be ours, we beg, for thy dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 30. The soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathing from above. Number 30.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your very prayerful attention. I'll direct your thoughts this afternoon to the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, and the verse 13. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, and reading verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10 and the 13th verse. And perhaps some of you already say, this is hardly a Thanksgiving service text. Well, I'd have to say two things in response to that. First of all, this was the word that dropped into my heart as soon as I awoke this morning. And if it is from the Lord, who are we to say the Lord has made a mistake? But secondly, if there are one or two, or more perhaps, devil-dragged sinners here this afternoon, they may well have reason to sing the doxology. Eventually, there's such a word as this in Scripture. There's such a word as this, eventually, gives cause for thanksgiving in hearts that may be this afternoon racked by sin, unbelief, the devil, thorns, crosses, crooks in the lot, and you wonder where the scene will end. My dear friend, here is a word for such, and let us raise a note of thanksgiving. There is such a word in the Word of God for such. If it were not so, some of us would be in despair. But again, it is a word of thanksgiving. You've only to remember what we read in Psalm 107. And there was the psalmist's sermon on our text this afternoon. And how did he end? Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Friends, is it not loving kindness? There's a way to escape in our text. Is it not loving kindness? The door of mercy there? Is it not loving kindness? There's an avenue of hope, a ray of light for a poor sinner at the end of the earth? Well, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And dear friends, that first hymn you sung, Love Everlasting Has Not Spared Its Best Beloved Son, it's the same loving kindness that's written this text for the encouragement, perhaps even the deliverance of a poor soul here this afternoon. And if but one soul in Anworth be found at God's right hand, said Samuel Rutherford, then heaven will be two heavens for him. And if just one soul here this afternoon find this to be a word in season, then we would not have come these many miles to preach in our poor way the gospel to you. But power belongeth unto God and God alone. Now, Corinth was one of the most wicked cities this world has ever known, on a par with the wickedness of the cities that we are familiar with in the day in which we are living. Every sin that God's word condemned was rampant in Corinth. And yet when the Lord sent Paul to Corinth, even before the gospel had begun to have any success, he said, I have much people in this city. There were devil slaves, there were servants of sin, they were without God, they were without hope, they were Christless, godless. And yet the Lord said, I have much people in this city, a people upon whom I've set my everlasting love, a people whom I'm determined to save, a The people I'm going to pluck as a brand from the burning from this evil city and put them on the way to life everlasting. Blessed be God for it. And when the Apostle Paul began to preach, the Holy Ghost attended the word with divine power. And one after another were plucked out of the grasp of Satan and sin. And by free and sovereign grace, all-conquering grace, they were put into the kingdom of Christ as only God can do. But they were still in Corinth. And all the sins they had been used to living in, wallowing in, rejoicing in their unregenerate days, were evident all the way around them. And not only that, they'd still got their old nature. They'd still got that carnal mind and natural man. That hadn't altered. That hadn't changed. And thus, in one sense, they were in a very vulnerable position. And it might seem to them, and it might seem to one of you here this afternoon, knowing what you are by nature, just a little of it, and you only know a little of it. But the little you do know of it, and what you know of the world around you, makes you tremble. Is it possible that such a sinner as I am, in such a world as I'm living in, with such a devil to oppose me, such a heart of unbelief to molest me, is it possible that such a wretch as I could ever be saved? Blessed be God for that word in Hebrews 7. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Note that word, uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing ever liveth to make intercession for them. Our text this afternoon is for an uttermost sinner here in Swavesey Chapel. The one who's crept across the door, threshold of the door, hardly wondering where they should even come. They feel so wretched and so out of the way. This word is for just such a sinner. And may it be a word in season as the Holy Ghost applies it. Now the dear Spirit in guiding Paul's pen puts a picture before us. A spiritual picture. On the one hand, there is a very, very rough sea. A tumultuous sea, a sea in which many have lost their lives, many have gone down as they are sunk to rise no more. It's the sea of temptation. In the midst of that sea, there is a little bark, a little vessel, tossed, buffeted, opposed. Can it manage to continue in this sea? But blessed be God, in the midst of the sea there arises a rock. Three words, or four words. But God is faithful. And blessed be God, that rock has in it a door of access, a way of escape, whereby the most tempted sinner, the most devil-dragged child of God, the most far-off end-of-the-earth character, as enabled by the Holy Ghost, may flee. A way to escape. So on with God's help to look, first of all, at the sea of temptation. Secondly, this blessed rock that stands in the middle of it. And thirdly, this way to escape. And perhaps the devil's told you there's no way out. He's told you every door is shut. Maybe in providence, maybe in grace. The devil's a liar. He who made a way at the Red Sea could make a way for you. He who divided Jordan when it overflowed its banks at harvest can do the same for you, poor captive sinner, this afternoon hour. So first of all then, this sea of temptation. I take this word temptation in its broadest sense. First of all, those terrible sins that abounded in Corinth, and the root of them were in the heart and are in the heart of every sinner here this afternoon. You don't need to look any further than yourself to know the root of those sins in your heart, be well aware of it, sinner. You cannot say you are holier than anyone else in Swavesey Village. You can't walk down the street and say, well, I'm not as sinful as you. I'm not as corrupt as you. You are no way can you say that. And if you do say it, it is not true. The heart of man is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? But there is in the child of God a threefold aspect to this. First of all, there is what they are by nature. Secondly, there is what the world is by its nature. And thirdly, there's what the devil is, who has had long experience in temptation, and who knows with all the dark arts he has how to gain an insight, an entrance into the heart of man, young sinners as well as older ones. He knows how to get hold, creep in like a serpent, and only show his colours when he's got his access. This is the first part of our text, the temptations that are abounding in this fallen world. Satan beguiling men and sinners on their way to hell. Some of you have heard of Rowland Hill, the good Puritan preacher of a bygone generation. And on one occasion, he was walking down the street and he saw something very strange. He saw a man leading a herd of pigs. Now, I'm no farmer, but I think pigs are not usually led. They usually have to be driven if they're going to go anywhere. But these pigs were following very obediently. And what is more, they were following him to the slaughterhouse of all places. He noticed the farmer had in his hand a bucket. In the bucket were beans. And he just kept scattering these beans as he went along. And of course, the pigs being what they were, hurried along after them, step by step, till at last they got to the gate of the slaughterhouse. In they went to their death. That's how Satan beguiles sinners on the way to hell. One sin here, another there. So attractive to the fallen nature of man. And on they go, unless grace intervenes. Hell is their portion. It'll be yours and mine, dear friend, unless grace intervenes. Temptation. And you must remember that it is that sinful part of man that responds to temptation. We may speak in a moment of the dear Saviour, that perfect man, the God-man Christ Jesus. We'll speak of him in a moment. But our hearts are corrupt. And they very soon and quickly, unless grace intervenes, respond to temptation in a way that is both harmful to the soul and offensive to your God. If ever there's a prayer you need to pray every day, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Secondly, God's people are well aware of the world in which they are living. Free grace in their hearts is given a new nature, a new heart, a new spirit, which not only is appalled at the state of its natural man and carnal mind, and often says, could ever God dwell here, but is well aware, now their eyes are open, the snares of this world. There is a hymn that's very rarely sung in our churches. I wish it was sung more. Save us from this bewitching world that has to death 10,000 hurled. The spirit of the age. That spirit whereby you must conform to what the new philosophy is, and on it sweeps people along with it. Oh, what a dangerous place the world is. It's not easy to swim against the tide, not easy to be a Daniel or a Nehemiah or an Obadiah. It's not natural to us. Blessed be God, grace can be given. There may be one here this afternoon and you are greatly afflicted by what the world is. And perhaps you're under some great pressure to conform to it. And your conscience says no. But oh, where's the grace going to be to stand? And having done all, still to stand, you're weak. You are vulnerable, you are fallible, and left to yourself you will fall. Oh, you need grace. Thirdly, God's people have troubles that God permits, ordains even, losses, crosses, disappointments, discouragement, devastating circumstances may come into their lives that are unlooked for, certainly unexpected. And this is part of our text this afternoon. The word temptation takes in everything that disturbs a child of God's heart and mind. Everything that gives them a sleepless night and a burdened day. Everything, Lord, that makes them cry, "Oh Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me." Well, what is there then this afternoon to describe your case? A tempted soul on this sea of temptation. And perhaps you see this blessed rock, but oh, can I reach it? Can I get there? Ah, that is a great question, isn't it? Draw me, Lord. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Let me love thy precious word. Let me see thy smiling face, willing to be saved by grace. Well, here's the sea then. The sea of trouble, trial, temptation, difficulty, opposition. But the apostle says, it's such that is common to man. Why does he say that? For two reasons. First of all, you who may be in this path I'm trying to hint at this afternoon, you might think your case is so unique that none have ever trod it before. If you went round this congregation among the living souls and they unburdened their heart to you, you'll be surprised how many companions in tribulation you've got. You might envy someone, they don't seem to have a difficult path like me. It seems so smooth, but you don't know what's going on beneath. They may not talk about it. They may not wear their heart on their sleeve, but inwardly, their soul's in a turmoil. Ah, is that where you are this afternoon? No one knows of your path. There are companions in tribulation. But secondly, oh, bless God for this. One of the many reasons the dear Son of God took into union with his divine person another nature he had not before, body and soul. He humbled himself that he might suffer being tempted. Now let us be very clear what I'm going to say now. We do not want to cast any dishonor upon Emmanuel, God with us, nor to have any doubt about his person, his character, his loveliness, his purity, his holiness. Let us lay it very clear here. First of all, it was that holy thing that was born of Mary in that mysterious way. He did not come forth with original sin like you and I, God. It was not said of him he came forth from the womb speaking lies. No, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Oh, you say, but if that is the case, he doesn't understand me. Here am I, grievously tormented, day and night. Here am I, assailed by the evil one, making the worst of what I am by nature, that he doesn't enter into what I am in. Well, what does the word of God say? Tempted in all points like us we are, yet without sin. How are we to explain that? Well, it's like this, dear friends. Though he certainly was never tempted by a fallen nature, but you can say two things. First of all, you can be sure there's not one temptation that Satan has in his artillery, not one arrow from his hellish store that he spared in firing against the holy person of the dear Saviour. There's not a temptation that rocks the boat of God's dear people, what he, the dear tempted one, has endured. He conquered, blessed be his holy name. In that he hath suffered being tempted, he's able to succour them that are tempted. That you have a sympathiser. You have one who knows. He knows what sore temptations mean. He's felt the same. But secondly, the great distinction is this. Whereas in your heart, as soon as the enemy comes in, unless grace intervene, there's a response. We come back to that in a moment. There was not even the least flicker of a response in the person of our Saviour. No thinking of falling in with the tempter's suggestion and power. He resists it even to blood. And there's your victory, child of God. There's your victory. It's not in what you can do, what strength you can muster, what resolves you can make. No, it's what he hath done for poor tempted sinners like you and me. Oh, poor guilty tempted one this afternoon. Go with your temptation. Go with your wretched heart. Go with that heavy burden. Go with all that's pressing you down. There's one who understands, one who feels. Yes, I feel in my heart all thy sighs and thy groans. For thou art most near me, my flesh and my bones. In all thy affliction the head feels the pain. And then you come to the last line of that beautiful hymn, that verse. Perhaps you can't even think the hymn writer's right, but he's right. All are most needful. Not one is in vain. You say, needful? Can that be? It must be so, child of God, for God to permit it. Though he's not the author of sin, God forbid you to think that. But Peter says, if needs be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. Whose needs be is it? God's needs be. And if he's ordained it for a season, then humble yourself there under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you in due time, his time. And while you wait, Peter says, casting all your care upon him. The care this temptation's brought. The care this thorn has brought. The care this cross has brought. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Blessed be his holy name. Ah, there is that man with a capital M then, who understands your path, and who feels even now in his exalted measure above what his people are passing through now. I illustrate it very simply like this. Those dear parents here, there's one of your child suffering, ill perhaps. And though you're not actually, as it were, ill yourself, yet you feel for your child. Well, that's a very, very faint illustration of the beloved Saviour above on his throne. He looks on his afflicted church here below. And he feels. There's not a wave that rocks your boat, but he feels for you in it. He's not ignorant of it. He's not unaware of it. He's not unconcerned of it. He that toucheth you, touch the apple of his eye, he says. Blessed be his holy name. Let us come then, secondly, then to the rock that's in the middle. God is faithful. Here is something unshaken by the waves that rock your boat. Here is something unmovable by the storm that may surround it. But God is faithful. You will find the world isn't faithful. It's a fickle friend, the world. Don't trust it. The devil certainly is not faithful. He's the opposer of your soul's eternal good. But above all, remember, your old nature is not faithful. Was it not Jeremiah who said, he that trusteth his own heart is a fool? So it is. So it is. And many of us have proved it as well. But blessed be God, here is one who is faithful. But God is faithful. In what way is he faithful in the context of our text? I'll give you three ways. First of all, dear friend, he's faithful to the promise he's made. There is a way of escape. There is a door through which this poor tempted one may flee and find a refuge. Come, my people, says the same God, enter thou into thy chambers, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, till the indignation be overpast. God is faithful in that. He's opened a door of refuge for these poor sinners. For such devil-dragged souls you may feel to be this afternoon hour. Secondly, he's faithful in this respect. God hates sin. Be under no illusion about that. God has a holy abomination for the guilt and the wretchedness of your old nature and mine. And yet he's faithful in this sense. His dear Son has procured, wrought out a righteousness that even the devil himself with all his hellish spleen cannot mar. So, poor tempted devil-dragged souls, those revealed in you your worst, that's brought out in you what you really are by nature, a wretched, black, uncomely sinner. May you flee to this perfect obedience to the dear Lamb of God, the dear Son of God in our nature, a righteousness he did not need for himself. No. You know, he said in his earthly ministry, that two coats, let him impart one, part with one. Well, here's the coat the dear saved not need for himself. A perfect robe of righteousness. He is holy, he is just, he is pure. He did not need to add to it in that respect. But his people needed an obedience. And this poor devil-dragged soul needs an obedience. And it's there in the righteousness of God's dear Son and the precious blood he shed that that righteousness might be put on the dear people of God who feel to need it. And there is this aspect to it as well. These paths reveal to you your guilt. Before this storm came, you thought you were a humble, patient, diligent person, respectable, Bible-loving, Christian was your name, and people thought it and perhaps esteemed you for it. But now, as you found this storm has revealed what you really are. You look for patience and cannot find it. Submission is way beyond you. You would be holy, but the very opposite wells up in your heart. Oh, you're a guilty, guilty sinner. What are you to do? Where are you to flee? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What the Holy Ghost reveals in conviction, the blood of Christ cleanses. And the more the Holy Ghost reveals in these solemn paths in which you are called to walk, the more the blood will be seen to be of precious and suitable for a sinner like you. Bless God for it. But then, what about that one here this afternoon who has a great need in their providential path? They're like poor Jeremiah. I'm hedged up. I cannot come forth. Does this word apply to them? God is faithful. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able? And that means two things. First of all, while the trial lasts, while the burden is there, while the storm rages, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You look into the future, and all these days ahead of you, Lord, how can I stand? Well, it's as thy days, so shall thy strength be. It's daily to feel your want of him. And daily to flee to him. And daily to prove him. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's how God works. Your weakness to prove his strength. Your ignorance to prove his wisdom. Your nothingness to prove his all. That is how God works. So different to how you and I work. God is faithful. It also means this, dear friends, he will not let you sink in this path. Sooner or later, he'll come to your aid. And who can tell, but round the very next corner, there's the deliverance you're looking for, waiting for, watching for. Ah, blessed be his holy name. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. That does not imply creature ability. It's the one thing you'll find in this path, dear friend, you've got no ability. None whatsoever. But it means this. He will give the strength you need. He will give the wisdom you need. And in due season, the deliverance that you need. He will, with the temptation also, make a way to escape. That you may be able to bear it. There's a lovely word in Psalm 12, I believe it is, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord, and set him in safety, him that puffeth at him. Now, God's now is not always ours. Remember that. We want it this very moment, don't we? But God might say to you this afternoon, my time is not yet come. It will come, but not yet. That may be the word. For a season, this storm will rage on. A season yet, the billows will still pour over your head, but it won't be everlastingly so. A time yet set to heal up your woes, a season most fit his love to disclose. But till he is ready to show forth his will, be patient, be steady, but wait on him still. But he will make a way to escape. Now what is this way to escape? Oh, there are many ways it may be looked at. The first way is those exceeding great and precious promises that God gives to his dear people. I often refer to it, but I make no bones about referring to it again. Dear Jacob, when he returns from the servitude with Laban, and he had many a trial and many a storm there, but as he leaves that one chapter and enters the new, thinking perhaps things are going to be easier and smoother, lo and behold, tidings reach him. Esau is on his way. Laban would have dragged him back, and Esau opposed his way forward. And what did the dear man do? Friends, he got on his knees in prayer, and he went back to the God of all his mercies. And with just two words, he says, thou saidst. That was his way of escape. He had a word to plead. He had something to take back to his God. Thou saidst. And you're a happy soul this afternoon if you've got a word like that. He said, but I haven't got a word like that. If only I have. Well, what about this word? Take this on your knees in humility back to the Lord. Say, Lord, it does say here. May not this poor tempted devil drag sinner plead it? Oh, it's a way to escape when there's a word in season, spoken by him who knows how to speak it, how to apply it, how to seal it, how to fix it, how to fasten it home. Secondly, the throne of grace is a wonderful way of escape. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our griefs and cares to bear. What a privilege to carry everything. Do you carry everything? I don't. I wish I did. But we're so independent, aren't we? That little matter arises in the family, perhaps, or in the church, or in your business. Oh, I can handle that. I know just what to do and what to say. Before you've taken two or three steps in it, you're in deeper water than ever. What was a little hill has become a great mountain. Friends, learn the word everything. And especially those things you think you can manage on your own. They're the very thing to take to the Lord. The very thing. Because that's where you're most vulnerable, where the devil will trip you up. Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what pain we often bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You say, but prayer has to be given. That I know. That I know. But that does not make an excuse for prayerless hearts, does it? You cannot lay that at God's feet. Your prayerless hearts are the fruit of your unbelief and our wretched fallen state. May it make you plead for the blessed Spirit to come and breathe in your heart a desire suitable for the case you're in, commensurate with the need you have. Quicken us, O Lord. And we will call upon thy name. That's a good prayer, isn't it? If you've never prayed before, child of God, or as I say, poor sinner, I should say, never gone on your knees before Almighty God, then that would be a good way to start. Quicken us, O Lord. And we will call upon thy name. But prayer is a wonderful, wonderful door of escape for God's dear people. It was for the dying thief, wasn't it? On the brink of eternity. He looked from the borders of the pit to his recovering grace. Prayer, then, is a way of escape for God's dear people. Many a child of God has found it to be so. Hannah did. Oh, she went into the temple that memorable day, and oh, everything was wrong, wasn't it? Inside and out. But she poured out her heart before the Lord. That's a lovely word in Psalm 62, isn't it? Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. The original Hebrew has it, empty out. Empty out. And when I was a lad, I used to help on the farm in Bedfordshire, not so far from here, of course. And it was before the days the combine harvesters got going in the way we have these days. And there was a very old harvester that was being used on the farm, and they gathered the corn in sacks. And then, of course, they had to take it back to the silo or whatever, the granary. We had to empty it. And we were always told to shake the sack empty. Shake it until it was empty. Well, dear friend, that's how we need to be on our knees. Shake your sack till it's empty. Tell him all your sad complaints. Here, present help will be, give you strength and victory. That loved one you're praying about, that tomorrow, that door you're waiting for the Lord to open, that guilt on your spirit, that temptation that's assailing you, oh, the Lord knows. The fear of death itself, all your sad complaints. Prayer then is a wonderful way of escape. Thirdly, the blood of Christ. What a way it was in the night of the Passover, that blessed type of it. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Not when I see your family name. Not when I see your trade. Not when I see your good works. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Friend, if you've got a bloodless religion, whatever does that mean? Well, you can be a very staunch chapel goer. You can be proud of the denomination that you are worshipping in. You can be very scornful of those who never cross the chapel doorstep. You can read your Bible night and day and offer up a dead prayer night and day as well. In your self-righteous, self-satisfied state, think you're well on the way to heaven and only a few more steps and you'll be there. You could not be more mistaken, sinner. You could not be more mistaken. That's one of the ways the devil lures people to eternal misery, even in a religious profession. Ye must be born again. That's where it must begin. And if you're born again, child of God, you cannot separate the work of the Holy Ghost from the atonement, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are born again of the Spirit, sooner or later, he'll bring you under the blood. And you won't be satisfied until you're there. Until you're there. There's no rest for your poor soul. The flaming sword of divine vengeance will plunge into your soul if you're not under the blood. Oh, you want to come where the good hymn writer did. In guilt's dark dungeon where we lay. Justice Christ slay, but mercy spare. Jesus answered, set them free. Pardon them, but punish me. That substitution. May God lead you and I to it. The scene of matchless grace, Jesus in the sinner's place. What a way of escape that is. Blessed way. Again, dear friends, a way of escape. Sooner or later in providence, the Lord can make a way out for you. Maybe your need this afternoon is just that. You're distracted because of the path you're in, hemmed in, hedged in. In God's time, he will make a way of escape. He knows how to open a door that seems bolted and barred with seven bolts. Friends, he can undo them in a moment, in his time and way. Yes, he did at the Red Sea, he did at Jordan, and in many other cases in the Word of God, we have ample evidence of it. The Lord can make a way where there seems to be no way. And as I pondered this, I thought of the hour and article of death for a child of God. Note what I'm going to say. For a child of God, it's a wonderful deliverance. It's that the Lord's way in his time to escape forever from this dying world, a tempting devil, their poor corrupt nature, and all the thorns and the crosses, the losses, the disappointments that have beset them throughout their journey. Oh, wretched man that I am, says Paul, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, he says, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ah, he can do it. He can do it. And death for a believer, note what I'm saying, is a final, God-ordained way of escape. It's the soul of the Lord saying to that soul, come up hither. Come away. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The winter is over and gone. The rain is gone. Come to the everlasting love that is above, that immediate presence with the dear Saviour. And as my great-grandfather used often to quote, the city to which I am travelling will more than my sorrows repay. And the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. Friend, it's this poor devil-dragged soul who'll get there. Nor what reason he'll have to say. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He's among those who've come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And heaven will be all the sweeter for the storms that have gone before. The peace with the veil all the more precious because of the storms that preceded your entrance into that heavenly haven. It is enough. Earth's sorrow soon shall cease, and Jesus call us to heaven's perfect peace. The devil will not have the last word. Your wretched heart will not gain the victory. God has promised it. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Then cheer up, ye travelling souls. On Jesus' aid rely. He sees us when we see not him, and always hears our cry. May that be so. Amen.
Shortly on the right hand side of the chapel. Our collection today are for the Oakington Group. Let us close with hymn 420. O bless the Lord my soul, let all within me join, and aid my tongue to bless his name, whose favours are divine. 420.
mindful of thy forgiving love, O Lord. All that thy pure holy eyes have seen amiss in our worship thus far this day, be with us in the interval and gather us again around thy holy word in the evening hour. May the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, the Holy Spirit's favour, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.